Okay, this week is Shabbos Shira. Shabbos Parshas Beshalach is Parshas Shabbos Shira. I saw yesterday a gematria. We in Kedusha, those who daven Nusach Sard, and all of us on Rosh Hashanah, we come to the expression of the Keser Melucha, the Yidnu Lucha Keser Melucha. In the Kedusha of Shabbos, it's called Kedushas Keser. So this represents the highest level. If you come to the highest level of giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give Kaviyachol the Keser, the crown, you bestow the crown upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
That's the last words of B'Esau Kol.
The Yidnu Lucha, right. The Yidnu Lucha, in the Yesayu, the last words, that's what I was referring to. So it's interesting that in Shabbos Shira, the key phrase of the Shira is Shira LaHashem Ki Go'o Go'o. I didn't do the math, but I'm assuming what's correct is the gematria of Shira LaHashem Ki Go'o Go'o is Keser. It's Keser. You'll figure it out. Make sure it really works. No. Ashur LaHashem Ki Go'o Go'o. So therefore, to some degree, this is Shabbos Keser. By reciting the Shira and singing to Hashem this expression, Ashur LaHashem Ki Go'o Go'o, we are fulfilling in what we say in the Nusach HaTfilah, the Yitnu Lecha Keser Melucha. Okay, the parasha begins. Vayhi v'shalach paru esa'am. Hashem did not allow Klal Yisrael to take the short path that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent us through a circuitous route. Derech Eretz Ki Karoyfu Ki Amar Lokim Peinachem Baros Mocham Avayah Vayeshavu Mitzrayim. So instead, Pasuk Yechidches continues to relate. Vayasev Elokim Esam Derech Hamidbar. Kadosh Baruch Hu caused us to take a circuitous route, to go in a circle, saviva, to go around Derech HaMidbar, and then the next words are Vachamushim Olu V'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. What is the precise translation of the word Vachamushim? Rashi provides two interpretations. The first interpretation is Ein Chamushim Ela Mizuyonim, armed. They went out of Mitzrayim with weapons. Why? And so in the parentheses, the Rashi says Lufi Shehesibon Shehisibasan Bamibar, Garam Lohem She Alu Hamushim Sheiluhoye Derek Yish of Lohoye Mukumashim Lohem Komash Shifim, Elik Adam Shoivim Makumakim, who would die to Likne Shamashi Yitzarch Alk Shahu Parish Lamidbar Tsachl Zamin, they had to be prepared. Kolat Sarich, the Chos of Zem, Lenitav Kim, Lashader Esoizem, Shaloy Taimar. Therefore, it must be that Hashem prepared them with weapons. Rashi, the first interpretation again tells us is that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to take them directly into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take them in the Midbar, and in the Midbar, ultimately, they will have to go to war. They will engage in battle with Amalek, with Sichon, with Midian. There will be many wars, and it's going to be surprising to the reader, to the person who studies Chumash, where did Klal Yisrael have weapons to fight war in the Midbar? So here the pasuk from the very get-go tells us that when they left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael, before you leave, make sure you take with you weapons, swords, bows and arrows, anything that you need to prepare for warfare. That's the interpretation of Chamushim. The other interpretation Rashi says is Chamushim means one-fifth. One-fifth. And we know that four-fifths died in the Yimei Choshech. The Medrash says it's not a fifth, it was only one-fiftieth went out of Mitzrayim. 49 out of 50 parts of Klal Yisrael died in Yimei Choshech. There's another Medrash that says only 1 in 500 left Mitzrayim. Okay, that's a different interpretation. Whatever that means, Rav Schwab, Al-Derech Agad, Rav Schwab is a very popular interpretation of what this means. It doesn't necessarily mean that 1/5, 1/50, 1/500. What it means is Klal Yisrael today would have been 500 times greater had the few people not die during the Yimei Choshech, because Klal Yisrael, we grow exponentially. So as this is based upon a pasuk in the beginning, or Shravi based upon a pasuk in the beginning of Chumash, when Kain kills Hevel, and Hashem says to Kain that the Dnei Hevel Achicha Tzoekim Alai Min Ho'adama, and Rashi is bothered, why does the pasuk refer to Hevel in the plural, the bloods? And Rashi says all of his descendants, all of the people that would have come from Hevel have now been cut off because of your actions. So Rav Shrab says the same thing over here, and Chazal say that only 1 in 500 came out of Mitzrayim. It means that had this group of people, whoever they were, had they not died in Mitzrayim, then Klal Yisrael today would have been 500 times greater than it is, both spiritually and in number, because our growth would have been exponential. With more, so it's true. When they left Mitzrayim, it was not noticeable. It was not so. The number of people that were missing, who died in the Yimei Choshech, it was not so noticeable. But if you look back now, presently in history, when you study this from this point in time, our numbers would have been enormous. Would have been the billions. Look at China. Look at India. Look at countries in the Far East. Look how numerous they are. They never had a time when they were decimated. We would have been today that much greater had we all been able to leave Mitzrayim in a complete state. Okay, we're going back to our original idea.
I mean, history tells us that the DNA, that all the Jews that are alive today emanate from 50,000 Jews in the 1500s.
Right. A lot of us are just all cousins.
Just all 50,000
people from Eastern Europe.
Right. You know, but at the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, there was the same amount of Chinese and Jews in the temple.
Okay, this has to be studied.
Okay,
it has to be studied and understood. Okay, but the point I want to make over here is it says here, Chamushim here, according to Rashi's first interpretation, means they were armed. And Rashi explains, what were they armed with? Weapons, with swords, bows and arrows. The Darshanim tell us something a little bit deeper. Chamushim doesn't just mean to be armed with weapons, it means armed with mitzvos, or armed with some special weapon. Spiritual weapon that they will need to survive later on in their journey, and they connect it to the next pasuk Yutes. Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo ki hashpeh hashpi es bnei sholema pakol yifkolotim eschem halisem es atzmosam yizetchem. So the Darshanim say the true weapon that Klal Yisrael had with them were the bones of Yosef. Yosef was the one that was oymed in the nesun of Eshes by Tifar. Vayikach chacham lev yikach mitzvos. When they came to Kriyas Yamsuf, Chazal tell us that the Yam did not want to split, but when the Yam saw the Atzmos Yosef in the Zuchus of Yosef at Tzadik, Oymed bin Isoyon, he was Oymed in the son of Ages by Tifar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yam. So the ultimate weapon was the spiritual weapon of the Atzmos Yosef. Chazal said that throughout the Midbar, there were two Aronites, the Aron of the Torah and the Aron of Yosef. They both led before Klal Yisrael. Kiyum Zeh, it was a constant reminder to Klal Yisrael that it's possible for a human being to fulfill and to observe what it says in the Torah. And this explains the juxtaposition of these psukim. It starts off by saying that Vachamushim Alu Vinei Yisrael Meyaretz Mitzrayim. What was the weapon? With what were they armed? The next pasuk tells us very clearly. You know what the weapon was? It was Vayikach Moshe Es Atzmos Yosef Imo. That was the weapon that Klal Yisrael had to go out into Mitzrayim. It's a very nice drush connecting Pasuk Yutes to Pasuk Yutches to Pasuk Yutes. The end of Pasuk Yutches connects very nicely into Pasuk Yutes. Now, using the Shvatim seemingly are buried in Egypt. Well, there's a conflicting memory Chazal. Yeah. There is a Medrash that says that all of the Shvatim were taken out of Mitzrayim. Not only Yosef, but everyone was also taken. It doesn't say that in the Pasuk anyway. The Pasuk only mentions Yaakov with you. together with you, but it's a question exactly what that means. It means the living. Itchem means the living who are leaving, not necessarily the bones of the other shvatim. But there is a medrash that says that the other shvatim were reinterred as well. Okay, in any event, we have pshat the pasuk. Chamushim either means 1/5, or it means to be armed with weapons. We have a drush, which is connecting this. The weapon is the bones of Yosef. Now, based upon this idea, I want to suggest something similar. Instead of connecting the weapon to the following pasuk, the pasuk can be explained to us that the weapon was what it said in the previous pasuk. What does it say in the Well, not the previous, but in the pasuk itself. The pasuk says, "Vayasev Elokim Esa'am Derech Hamidbar." HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to travel in a roundabout way. Hashem did not take them on the straight and narrow. Hashem caused them to go in a roundabout way. Chazal tell us this ma'isa avos simin labanim. Many times in life, it seems that our mission, our purpose is very simple. It's very simple. You live a life and you know exactly what you're supposed to do, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation you never imagined you would be in. You have a nisayon. Every single person has a pekel, and this pekel is the equivalent of Vayasev Elokim Esa'am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thought we came into this world just to go through the world nice and easy, on the straight and narrow, and then we're struggling to get through our existence to reach the final, to reach the end of our term in this world. We find it's always Vayasev. It's not the way we thought things would play out. Every single person can relate to this. No one can say at any point in time in their life that this is where I thought I would be 5 years ago, 1 year ago. You know, you don't know what's coming. You don't know where you're heading. And why is this so? It's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has for you a mission. He has a mission, and the mission is not easy. It's difficult, but the person is put into this world to accept the challenge and to succeed and to grow from that challenge. And this is all rooted in here. We're leaving Mitzrayim. We're now coming to the Geula. What you think the Geula is just going to be on the straight and narrow? You leave Mitzrayim. You come to Mashiach. You come to Yerushalayim. The ma'isa of a similar bonim is to go from Golus to Geula. It's always going to be the longest possible route possible. The longest route that can exist, that's what's always going to be Vayasev. But don't think that's a chasaron. Adarava, that's a maila. Because you grow from your experience. The experience of going through difficulties, no one l'chatchil wants to go through difficulties, but the experience that a person has in struggling to succeed, this is what causes a person to steig, to grow, and to become successful. It's the greatest weapon, your life experience, the difficulties that you endure in life is the greatest weapon you can possibly have. And that's the drush and what the pasuk means. The pasuk here says, "Vachamushim." It says in the pasuk, "Vayasev Elokim Esa'am Derech Hamidbar." Derech Hamidbar Yamsof. The unexpected happened. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and instead of going on the straight path, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused us to go in the roundabout way. We were disturbed. Why is this happening? Why are we going in this difficult roundabout way? It involves complications. Yes, these complications is what causes a person to grow, to develop, to mature, to become closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And thus, Vachamushim, you now are armed. Your weapons, your arm, you are now armed to go through life. Vachamushim, Alu, Vinei, Yisrael, Me'eretz, Mitzrayim. The Vayasev is the weapon of Klal Yisrael. So basically what I'm doing over here is I'm taking this pasuk, which means a weapon, which Rashi says it means real physical weapons. I'm focusing on a popular drush that the weapon is the next pasuk yutes of the bones of Yosef, but taking the same concept and just working backwards, is that the real weapon in life are your difficult are the nisyonos of life. Vayasev is a code for the nisyonos you have in life. This is something which prepares the person, it arms the person, it gives them the ability to overcome and succeed later in life. Okay, let's go to another idea. As they're traveling in the Midbar, it says they're leaving and they're traveling. And let me see. Vayikach Moishas Atzmos Yosef. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vayisu Misukos. Vashem Zuchnayim. Perek Yudalid, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Daber El Bnei Yisrael. The first thing I want them to do when they travel, V'yoshuvu V'yachanu Lifnei Pi Hachiros. They left. They're finally out of Mitzrayim. They're on their first on the road. All of a sudden, cell phone rings. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's on the cell phone, and he says, "Change your coordinates. Punch into the coordinates GPS. I want you to go back to Pi Hachiros. I want you to make an about face and go to Pi Hachiros. Why?" Doesn't say V'yomar Paro. So the next pasuk says V'yomar Paro Levnei Yisrael Nevuchim Heim Oretz. They are lost. Sagar Aleim Bamidbar. They're confused. And Rashi elaborates: you're going back to a location that is near an Avodah Zarah.
I'm back to St. Peter's.
Okay. Now, what is Pi Hachiros? We never had this location, this place in Chumash yet. So Rashi is disturbed. Rashi says, what is Pi Hachiros? Let me read you the words of Rashi. Pasuk Beis. Rashi says, Hu Pisaim. Pisaim, what's Pisaim? There were two cities that were built by Klal Yisrael. Pisaim v'yes Ramses. Rashi says, V'achshav nikra Pi Hachiros. Now we're calling it Pi Hachiros. Why are we calling it Pi Hachiros? Al Shem shenasu shom b'nei choyrin. It's because they became in this location free men. It's a little bit different when they became free. They became free men when they left. They already were free. They're going back. We're calling it. It's not really clear what Rashi means. But we're changing Pisom into Pi Hachiros. The Sif Seicham explains that since nowhere else we have any mention of this place called Pi Hachiros, and the only similar thing we have in Tanakh is Pisom, so we have a right to assume that Pisom is the same as Pi Hachiros. And the reason why we're changing it, we're calling it Pi Hachiros, is because Pi Hachiros means Choyrin, Bnei Choyrin. They were freed at this location. Okay, so the question is, what is going on here? They're going back to Pi Hachiros. I want to suggest to Josh, where did the entire experience of Golus begin? It all began in Pisaim. The beginning of Shemos, the very, very beginning, it all starts with Pisaim. Let me just turn to the page. Parsha begins, Vayokam melech chodosh al mitzroim asher lo yodes Yosef. Vayom elamu hinei amrei yitzhol, rav yotzu mimenu, hoven yitzchak mul pen yibbe, vahoyal kisikun mechama, v'noi tzav gam uhalsin milcham anu v'elarim min arts. So what does Paro do? This is the very, very beginning, the Gentite of the Shiva Mitzrayim, Vayosimu lov sorei misim, tax collectors, taskmasters, leman anoso, to torture them. Besivloi sam vayiven orei miskinos lefaro, cities of storage, es pisom the es Ramses. The es Ramses with an ayin, a full ayin, a full patach. Ramses, very good. Ramses, a full ayin. So the first city is Pisom. First piece S Pisom, and then the S Ramses. After they finished building Pisom, then they went on to build the city of Ramses. Rashi explains to us what exactly was the purpose of their labor. Rashi here in Pasuk Yudalev says, these cities were never meant to be storage facilities. They made these cities strong and fortified to serve as a storage facility for Egypt. Here, Klal Yisrael. Now, let's take a step back. What was the purpose? Why did Klal Yisrael have to go to Mitzrayim? Why was it necessary? Va'avodum ve'inui oisam arba me'oshana. Chazal explained all over. It's because during the 210 years that we were in Egypt, and especially during the last 86 years when we went through the Shibud, Klal Yisrael was refined. It's called the Kor HaBarzel. The neshamos of Klal Yisrael were refined to be worthy of being servants. We were servants of Paro, and that that mindset of what it is to be a servant, to be a slave, was transferred towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be the Avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's servants. It was an absolutely necessary requirement for Klal Yisrael to go through a refining process in Egypt in what we call the Kor HaBarzel, the furnace, the furnace which removes all the purities, it refined our neshamos. We became, through this experience, receptacles to contain the Shekhinah, to be a makom, to be a nation that is worthy to be the resting place for the Shekhinah in this world. When Klal Yisrael is leaving Mitzrayim, they're on the way out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to reflect. It's 210 years you're here in Egypt. This is the fulfillment. This is 400 years from the Bris Bein Absarim, 430 years from Leidas Yitzchak. This is the big event. Don't take this lightly. Don't run away from Egypt like you're running like a tinek habarech mi beis hasefer. In this location, you became a nation. You have acquired the midos. I want you to go back and reflect where it all started. It all started in Pisaim. This, in Pisaim, it's not just a city that you built. What you built is a mashal. It is a mashal for what you have accomplished here as a nation. Pisaim, Rashi says, it was a city that was not roy. It was not roy for oitzar, to contain, to store, to be a receptacle. And what did you do here, Klal Yisrael? You took this chomer, this matter, that was not fit for anything significant, you fortified it. You fortified it, you developed, you nurtured, you worked, you created something that's royal oitzar. This city of Pisaim is a marshal for Klal Yisrael. You were a nation that was not roy to be a receptacle, to be an oitzar, for the Shekhinah, for the Hashras HaShekhinah, to be an Or LaAmin. And what did you do? And what did you do in Egypt? By working, by going through this process, it's exactly the word V'asohem Chazokois. You become a strong nation. U'bitzuros, fortified. L'Oitzar, to serve as an oitzar, a storage, a receptacle for Hashem Shekhinah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after I take you out of Mitzrayim, as we're about to proceed, I want you to pause and I want you to reflect upon the experience. I mean, it's very common. Someone, let's say they live in a home for 30 years. And then they decide, they retire, all their children are married. And, you know, so what do you do? You just walk out of the house, you sell the house. When you go out of the house the last time, it's not so easy. It's not so easy. You have to go and look at them, look back, and say goodbye to the house. People know they remember in yeshivas. I remember when I was the Bach and Chaim Blum when they built the new Beis Medrash. When they knew they built the new Beis Medrash. So to me, it really didn't mean anything because I wasn't in the old Beis Medrash. And I was, you know, but I saw they had the Chanukah Sabayis. So the Chanukah Sabayis begins. Go into the old Beis Medrash. Everyone comes together, and they take out the Sifrei Torah, and they take the Sifrei Torah from the old Beis Medrash to the new Beis Medrash. I was there, I was a young Bacher, and in my eyes, the experience of leaving the Beis Medrash was a much more powerful experience than going into the new Beis Medrash. Because you saw there a lot of the people there who grew up in the yeshiva, the rabbeim, who were there and developed and grew and were nurtured and became who they were in this makom. All of the learning, all of the davening, all of the yom noirayim, all of the purim, and all of the chagim, and you're just going to leave. You're going to leave this makom, just like that, and walk out and go into a new building, a new comfortable building where there's nice bathrooms and there's good heat and have all the amenities of modern facility. The old, there was no bathroom in the old Chaim building, I'm sorry to tell you. I understand you're going, but you know, you're going into a new building, very nice. But how can you just leave the old location? This is where you came from. This is the makom where you developed. So indeed, It is. That's what it is. That is the minhag Yisrael. It is the minhag. You say goodbye to the makam. I remember. I don't know the story, but I know Rav Baruch Ber. When Rav Baruch Ber had to run away for his life, in Kamenitz from the Nazis, when he fled from the Nazis, so there's a story as he had a very, very hard time leaving. He just cannot leave. He was so emotionally attached to the makam. To go away, to leave the Mokoyim, this is where I come from. This is everything I have comes from this Mokoyim. It's not a simple thing. This is exactly what's happening here when Klal Yisrael is living Mitzrayim. The beginning of the Shibud began Pisoim, not Ramses. First Pisoim. S-Pisom, the S, Ramses. Ramses was second. Here, the leaving Mitzrayim, Hashem says, you're leaving, you're running away too fast. You're like a tina kabarech mi beis ha-sefer. Dabril b'nei Yisrael, v'yashuvu, return, v'yachanu, lefnei pi-hachiros. I want you to go back to Pisom. I want you to look at Pisom. I want you to look at what you accomplished in Pisom. I want you to reflect at what you accomplished in Pisom, this magnificent city, what you built with your blood and sweat and labor. What you built here, I want you to reflect upon this. Because this is not just a physical city that you've built. This is a mashal for who you are. This is the Kor Har Barzel. Reflect on the experience. You have become in this makam in Am HaNifchar. And you're going to take that, you're going to build upon that. We're going to go to Yerushalayim. We're going to go to Har Sinai. But first thing first, V'yashuvu V'yachanu Lifnei Pi HaChiros. Don't forget where you come from. Don't forget that obviously Mitzrayim was not a good place. It's the Erev HaSa'aretz. But you've accomplished something there. You've accomplished something very great in Mitzrayim. And you have to reflect upon that. And that's the Musar Haskel in life. Every time, it sounds like a good drasha for a dinner, for a yeshiva, when they honor someone at a yeshiva dinner, you have to know where you come from. This is where you come from. This is where you grew up. V'yashuvu v'yachanu lifnei pi'achiros. Don't forget your roots.
It's like doing tshuva, where the final madrake is you're back to the place where you had the mechshel and you overcome it. So you walk into Pierre.
That's a different idea.
Free man.
Okay, it's a different idea. You're saying a different idea. I hear what you're saying. You're saying a different idea is okay, but there are different mahalachim how to look at this idea.
But wasn't there a method that said that those cities kept on
collapsing.
Collapsing.
They did, exactly. That's what the measures did. But Klal Yisrael, they rebuilt them to a degree where they would not collapse. They fortified them such, that's what Rashi says, they fortified, they were not ru'uyos limiskanos. They sunk. It was quicksand. They sunk. Klal Yisrael, they did something there. They worked so hard there, they were able to transform these cities that were exactly, not roy for limiskanos to become places that are roy limiskanos, and that's the marshal for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was a nation that was not roy for the hashras hashchina. We had to go to Mitzrayim into the Kor Har Barzel to become a clean utensil, a receptacle, an oitzer, and this required chizuk and required what it says Rashi. You made them asom chazokos ubitzurois lo oitzer. You have to read the Rashi. It's a very critical Rashi in the beginning of Shemos. It's a mushul, and we're coming back to reflect. And this is a musar haskel we have to reflect upon. When every time we think back in our past, where we come from, where we grew up, this is who we are, and it's kedai to reflect. Okay, let's go to the next idea. Okay, 600 chariots chase after Klal Yisrael. Rashi is the question, where in the world did the Egyptians get 600 chariots? The chariots are pulled by horses. And each, I think the Gemara says each chariot had four horses. Was it four horses?
Three?
All right, different times, whatever it is. But they were horses. Where did they get horses? Did we not learn? Rashi asked this question. Rashi asked the question in the beginning of, when they begin to chase after Klal Yisrael. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says Rashi says, "V'chol rechav Mitzrayim, v'imoyim kol shor harechav, u'mehechon hayuha behemos halal." Where do they get them? Im toymar mishol Mitzrayim, hare nemar v'yomos kol mikne Mitzrayim. They all perished in. They all perished in Barot. In the Barot, they all perished. V'im toymar mishol Yisrael, v'halo nemar v'gam miknenu yelechimanu mishol mihayu. So Rashi answers, "Mehayorei." Es devar Hashem, from those who feared the word of Hashem, heinis es avodav yes mikneu, they took in their slaves and their animals indoors. Mikan hoyi Rabbi Shimon, Omer Rabbi Shimon, he says, look at this. The people over here, they were tzaddikim, they were yirei Hashem, they were yirei the devar Hashem. They took their animals indoors, and the same people who took their animals indoors because they were afraid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, now they're taking those animals out and they're using them to chase after Klal Yisrael and to kill Klal Yisrael. So Mikan Hoyer B'Shem Loimer Kosher Shebin Mitzrayim Haroig Toiv Shebin Choshim Ritzoitz Es Mocho. No, you never know. Even the best of the Egyptians will attack you, will turn on you. The best of the snakes will ultimately bite you. So watch out. Now the question is, it's still very difficult, because how could it possibly be that an object that was used as an expression of Yirah Shamayim can now end up being, shouldn't there be a Siyata Deshmaya, that if a person here has Siyata, a person has Yirah Shamayim, and he chooses to fear Hashem, it's still very difficult hashkafically to understand such a thing. A person over here, he had an experience of being a Yorei Shamayim. Hashem said, "I'm going to come. I'm going to strike the land with Barot, and therefore, if you're really afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take your animals indoor." I'm afraid of Hashem. Hayorei Devar Hashem. I bring my animal indoor, and now this same animal that was my expression of Yirah Shamayim should now be used to bring about my own death? I'm now going to change my mind. I'm going to take that horse. I'm going to ride on the horse. I'm going to chase after Klal Yisrael. I'm going to end up being killed. It's difficult.
The question is not on the animal. The animal did a Kiddush Hashem at the end.
The animal
brought the.
But it's still very difficult. It's a very difficult hashkafic inyan. Is that if I have used this animal to show my Yiras Hashem, even though later on in life the person became an oisfarf, he went off the derech and he lost his Yiras Shemayim, that same animal. When the person was riding on the animal, to go and chase after Klal Yisrael, shouldn't all the memories come back? Wow, it was this animal.
That's why it says Vayayafeh.
Right, Vayehofer. But even the Vayehofer, how could it even be that it was the Vayehofer? Even if they want to change their minds, but to use those same animals, which they used originally as an expression of Yirah Shamayim, it's a very difficult question. It says Hayorei Devar Hashem, especially in light of the fact that the entire Kriyas Yamsuf is described with two words, not few words, but the two things Vayiru Ha'omes Hashem Vayamin Bashem of Moshe Avdo. When they saw the Egyptians drown in the Yamsuf, the feeling that they had was an expression or a realization of Yirah Shamayim. Vayiruam, the Klal Yisrael, when they saw. So everything here revolves around Yirah Shamayim. But there is one difference. And that one difference maybe sheds a little bit, or takes away the sting of the question. Doesn't take away the question entirely, but takes away some of the question. That is, there's a difference between Hayorei Devar Hashem versus what Klal Yisrael Vayiru Ha'om Es Hashem. Klal Yisrael, when they saw the Egyptians dead, they saw them in the Yam, they feared not the Devar Hashem. They feared Hashem. Vayiru Ha'om Es Hashem. Vayaminu Bahashem of Moshe Avdo. The Egyptians never reached a madrega of Yiras Hashem. The highest level of fear the Egyptians came to was Hayorei Devar Hashem. The word of Hashem. Which indicates that it wasn't sincere. They just were afraid of punishment. Hashem, I'm not afraid of. You, Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not really afraid of. But it's in my best interest, it's in my best interest that if you tell me something is going to happen, you tell me that this is going to happen, so I'll consider it and I'll take proper precautions. That type of Yiras Shamayim is shallow. It's meaningless. It's not a significant Yiras Shamayim that's going to save you in the future. Here, when Klal Yisrael, even though that this object is the object which was used to show, I'm afraid of the Devar Hashem, it was not enough of a fear that it should withhold them from being used as the object of pursuing Klal Yisrael and bringing about the death of Klal Yisrael, which is obviously a very great Avera. Klal Yisrael, the Kriyas Yamsuf, they built, when they saw the horses, why did they come to a madrig of Yirash Hashem? When you witness a miracle, are you afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are you afraid when you witness a miracle, you're filled with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why? What?
Like Gary Arroyos and Gary
Yemes. Why did Klal Yisrael come to a level of fear? So I want to suggest that in addition to all the other reasons why they came to a level of fear was because they saw in front of them the horses. They saw in front of them the animals that were the objects of Yiras Shamayim. These very animals, which in the past were objects of Yiras Shamayim, and they saw here firsthand that it did not save, it was not a zechus for the Egyptians to be spared from death. They came to realize that if being Yori the Devar Hashem is not enough. And therefore, you need, in order to survive, in order to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you need to be on a higher madrig of fearing Es Hashem, not just the Devar Hashem. If the Egyptians, what I'm trying to suggest is that if the Egyptians would have chased after Klal Yisrael on cars and tanks, Humvees, not on the horses that were speared from the Barad, then Klal Yisrael would not necessarily, and I am Panim Latorah, I'm not trying to say this is the only reason, would not necessarily react to the Kriyas Yamsuf with an expression of Vayiruhom Es Hashem. They feared Hashem. They saw miracles. Very nice. Hashem did miracles. Just because you see a miracle, does that lead you to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It leads you to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you very much. You've done for me a very great kindness. Hashem, I owe you. I owe you. But I don't fear you. Why is there fear? Why is that the emotion? If they would have been, they would have chased after, the Egyptians would have drowned, our enemies have drowned, and we survived, Baruch Hashem, we love you, we thank you, we sing Shira, but I'm not necessarily afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But being that, they saw in front of them, the Egyptians, dead, upon the same objects which the Egyptians themselves used to demonstrate that they did indeed fear Hashem, it was a revelation, it was an awakening that if just because you're Yorei Devar Hashem doesn't mean anything. You can be afraid of the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can take precautions, hedge your bets. It's not going to help you. The only thing that will really help you to survive in this world is to go to the source. It's to be afraid of Yiras Hashem. Vayiruham Es Hashem. This is what they recognize by seeing the horses in front of them in Egypt. You know, we all know when we done Rosh Chodesh, when we Mavakish, Yiras Shemayim, and Birchas Chodesh, everyone knows that we yes for Yiras Shemayim twice. So everyone is wanting yes for Yiras Shemayim twice. Well, it's for three times. So the common answer is, there's Yiras Hachate. There's afraid of doing an Avera, because if you do an Avera, then you will be punished. There's going to be consequences. And then there's a higher level of Yira, which is Yiras Haroimimus, or just being afraid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the sake of being afraid of Kadosh Baruch Hu, irrelevant of any type of consequence of punishment or ramification. So really, that's what we have. That, but you know, you can't jump steps, you can't skip steps, you can't come to Yiras Haroinimus unless you first have Yiras Sachet. This is the development of Klal Yisrael here at this moment in time. They see that Yiras Sachet is not going to take you all the way. They see that Yiras Sachet can only go that far. They we witness, you have to go all the way to the higher madrega of Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem. The dead horse in front of us is only the Devar Hashem, which does not bring a person to ultimately close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Originally in the Gemara, there's not twice.
What?
Triller doesn't say twice, yes, Shemai. Only in Siddur it says twice.
In the Gemara, it doesn't say it twice. Okay, in the Siddur. Okay. In Chanan. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is an idea. Ha'ara. Okay, this is not a complete idea. I just want to make the following ha'ara. The pasuk says, they're traveling, and the Egyptians are chasing behind, and Klal Yisrael is in a great state of distress. Klal Yisrael says to Moshe, "Paru hikri vayisu b'nei Yisrael es einem vahinei Mitzrayim vaseh achareyem vayiru ma'od." They are frightened. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Rashi has a very positive interpretation. Vayitzaku means tofsu emunas avoysam. Tofsu emunas avoysam. They were mispala, but it was very short lived. Their koyach, their tefillah was short, because the next pasuk says, "Vayomru el Moshe." Then they began to complain. Hamibli ein kvadim b'Mitzrayim lekachton lamus b'Midbar. Are there a shortage of graves in Egypt? Maybe there are. In Eretz Yisrael, there are a shortage of graves. Hamibli ein kvadim b'Mitzrayim lekachton lamus b'Midbar. Mazos osinu lano leosim b'Mitzrayim. And then they go on to say something very, very sharp. We already told you once before. Leimar, Chadal mimenu v'navdo es Mitzrayim. Leave us alone. Let us be slaves. Ki toiv lanu avoid es Mitzrayim. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than mimusenu b'amidbar, to go out into the desert to die from starvation, from what's happening now. They're chasing after us. Rashi, it's a very important question. Really? When did Klal Yisrael ever say to Moshe Rabbeinu these words? Chadal mimenu v'navdo es Mitzrayim. Ki toiv lanu avoid es Mitzrayim. Where? Show me. Show me somewhere in Chumash where Klal Yisrael said these words. So Rashi says they did at the end of Shemos, at the end of Parsha Shemos, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Paro and asks Paro to lighten the burden. Paro says, "I see you have nothing better to do. You're organizing. You're forming a union. You're making trouble. You know what? I'm no longer going to give you the straw. Let the people go and collect the straw themselves." And this was related to the people, and then they saw Moshe Rabbeinu coming out from the palace. Vayiru, vayifku es Moshe v'es Aaron nitzavim likrasam. They saw Moshe and Aaron standing near them, but say some is Paro, and here's where they said those words. Vayomru aleihem yere Hashem aleichem v'yishpot. May Hashem judge you. May He see what you have done to us, and may He judge you. Asher hivashem esricheinu, you have soured our spirit. Beinei Faro veinei avodav loses cheref biyadam lehargenu. In other words, you should have been quiet. In other words, in essence, Rashi is saying that this pasuk perik. Hey, pasuk chof aleph in essence is really chadal mimenu v'navdo es Mitzrayim ki toiv lanu avod es Mitzrayim mimusenu b'midbar. What are you Aaron doing by going to Paro and telling him to let us go? It's only made things worse. You just should leave us alone and don't make demands on Paro. Now, here's the part I want to point out. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he heard this criticism, it affected him. He was disturbed. And Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know if you can say this, but he complained. He made a mistake. He complained. Vayoshav Moshe el Hashem vayomar. Hashem, lama hari oso la'am hazeh, lama zeh shalachtani, ume'oz basil paro l'daber b'shmecha hira la'am hazeh v'hatzel yitzalta esamecha. Rashi seems to say that these two psukim that Moshe uttered was a big mistake. Moshe here showed a lack of emunah. A lack of emunah. Moshe was affected by the criticism of Klal Yisrael. He goes to Hashem and bitterly complains and says, "They are right. What are you doing, Hashem? What are you sending me? Let them be slaves here. By sending me here, it's just getting worse, and there are no improvements." So Hashem responds, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Atos sira. Those are very powerful words. Ata means now you shall see. You have shown a lack of faith in me. The Jewish people that don't have faith, I can't blame them. They're the ones that are suffering. But you, the leader, you, Moshe, who I have selected, I've handpicked to serve as their leader. I recruited at the burning bush, and I've sent you on the mission. And now you come back and tell me that you complain to me. Atosire. Rashi, very critical Rashi. Pasik Aleph and Perek Vav. Hir harta al midoisai. You, Moshe, are coming to challenge my conduct, my ways. Like Avraham, she'amarti lo ki v'yitzok yikor lucha zora v'achar kach amarti lo ha'leu lo'ila v'lo hihir acharei midoisai. You're no Avraham, Moshe. Avraham, I told him ki v'yitzok yikor lucha zora, and it got a lot worse. I told him to bring him up for the Akedah. You, I told, I'm going to redeem the Jewish people, it's getting worse, and you're coming back to complain. Lefich, therefore, I'm going to punish you. Know what the punishment is? Atos sira. Ata with an ayin. Ata, that's how it's spelled. Now, meaning, you will not merit the ultimate geula. You will not merit going into Eretz Yisrael. You will not merit he'asui leparo tira. You will only see the fall of Paro. V'lo he'asui lemalchei shiva umos kishaviyam laris. Oh, you'll ask me, but what about the meha meriva hitting? Okay, so there are a lot of different things which contributed to Moshe not going into Eretz Yisrael. But this was the first. This was the first where Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, you will not go into Eretz Yisrael and witness the defeat of the 31 kings because you have shown a lack of faith. You're coming back to me and you're challenging me. Ki b'yod chazok yishalchem, b'nei yodi ha-chazoka she-techazek al paro yishalchem, u'b'yod chazoka yigoshem yartso, I will, al kishirachem al Yisrael, v'lo yaspiku la-sos lahem tzeda, v'hu v'cheinu oimer yigoshem al. Okay, fine. So this is the complaint. Now, so what I want to suggest over here is, when you know this story, when you focus on what it says here at the end of Parashat Shemos, we can now have a much better appreciation of Moshe's response to Klal Yisrael when they complain to him here at the Yam. At the Yam, they're about to, they complain. Let me go back to the Pasuk. Vayomer el Moshe, Hamibli ein kvadim b'mitzrayim lo lekachton lo mus b'midbar. Mazoyis asisulanu lahatzel b'mitzrayim. Haloi toya zele haloi zeh hadavar she dibanu lach leim b'mitzrayim leim achadam eiv nadas b'mitzrayim ki toiv lanu avodes b'mitzrayim miyusin b'midbar. So they complain. How does Moshe respond? Vayomer Moshe el ha'am al tirahu hisyatzvu, stand still, uru'u es Yeshuas Hashem asher yaseh lochem hayoim. There are two different expressions here. Number one is see, uri'u, and the word hayoim. Why does Moshe have to say this? All Moshe should say is vayoimer Moshe elam al tirohu. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just travel. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to elaborate and tell them you're going to see? Uri'u, you're going to see the Yeshuas Hashem Hayoim, today. Why does he have to say today? You always see the Yeshuas Hashem. We can suggest that since this complaint, since Klal Yisrael here are reminding Moshe Rabbeinu of what they said to him in Egypt, that automatically triggers in their mind, it automatically triggers what Moshe Rabbeinu did after they complained to him. What did he do? He went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe was punished for complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the expression, Atos Sireh. You're going to see what's happening now, but you'll never see what's going to happen into the future. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, you want to complain? You're going to get the same punishment I got for complaining. History is repeating itself. You complained years ago. This complaint. I took you seriously. I was affected by this complaint. And when I complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem punished me for my lack of faith by telling me, you don't have faith, then this will be the last time you see my miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu basically is telling Klal Yisrael exactly this. If you're going to continue to complain, why did we leave Mitzrayim? It would have been better. You're going to get the same punishment that I received. It's going to be Atosira. Exactly what he says. Uru'u, you're going to see us, Yeshua's Hashem Asher Yaseh Lochem Hayoim, which implies today you're going to see the salvation, but watch out. You're not going to merit to see the salvation coming into Eretz Yisrael. What? Well, they didn't for other reasons also. Other reasons that contributed. But Moshe Rabbeinu explains pshat in the pasuk. There's a pshat for it. Because what's the verbosity? What's going on over here? They're complaining. Moshe says, don't worry. Al tirahu. That's all you really need to say. Al tirahu. Hisyatsu, stand still. And just, there could be other expression. Hashem yilochem really, I think just skip to the next pasuk. Al tirahu. Hashem yilochem lochem. V'atem tacharishon. Would that not be enough? If the Torah would only have written these expressions. Al tirahu. Hashem yilochem lochem v'atem tacharishon. Hashem will fight for you. You will be silent. I don't think we would be disturbed. We would be very satisfied that Moshe Rabbeinu has provided an adequate response to their complaint. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu coming and say, stand where you are and watch what's going to happen today? The answer is because since Klal Yisrael is reminding Moshe Rabbeinu of what they said to him years ago, and what happened years ago had a part two. Moshe Rabbeinu took those words that were said to him and he went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he complained, and Hashem says, oh, you're not a Maimin, I'm going to punish you, you're not going to witness the conclusion of Yitzias Mitzrayim by what's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is basically telling them, you're complaining to me the same complaint before, then just like I was punished for this complaint by not witnessing what's going to happen in the future of Atosira, you're going to suffer the same consequences. It's going to be Uru'u es Yeshua Sashem Hayom, Hayom v'loy l'mochar, now what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay, so that's what I'm going to say, Pshah in the Pasuk. Okay, now another, and there's a beautiful Vart from the Chassam Sofer. Very powerful Vart. Very, very powerful. Purely from the Chassam Sofer. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael and he sent Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says in the next perik, in the next pasuk, Vayem Hashem Moshe, Ma titzak Eloi daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. What are you crying to me? Speak to Klal Yisrael v'yiso and travel. Now is not the time to daven. There's a time to daven, and there's a time not to daven. There's a time to take action. You've davened enough, now is the time to show your emunah. Skedai, go into the Yam, jump into the Yam, and the Yam will split and you will survive. That's the Pashab Shat. The Chassam Sofer says something very powerful. It's a drush. Hashem says to Moshe, Ma titzak elai. Ma means, what exactly is the nature of your tefillah? You find yourself in a situation, in a difficult situation. Well, so what do you want? So you could be mispalel, Hashem save me. I don't care about the enemy. I just want to be saved. Or you can say, Hashem, someone's trying to hurt me. Tomos nafshi im plishtim. The main thing is, punish the enemy. Klal Yisrael here, they saw the enemy chasing after them, and they started to complain. What was when Hashem says to Moshe, the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, and of your tefillah, it's the wrong tefillah. Ma titzak elai. What is this kramah mean? What is the nature of this cry that is coming to me from you? The cry is that you want me to destroy the enemy. That's not what you're supposed to pray for. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to b'nei Yisrael and tell them that the message of the tefillah should be v'yisohu Hashem. They should be mispalel that Hashem should show them a derech, what to do, where to go. Don't pray that your enemy should be defeated. Pray that you should be saved. The koyach of tefillah is not revenge. The best way to take revenge against your enemy is to succeed. It's to be successful. If you are successful, that is the ultimate revenge against your enemy. And that's exactly what the Pasuk of Yirmiyahu is saying. You see over here, you're being chased, you're complaining, Halelonu, it would have been better for us to die in the Midbar. Chadal Midbar, Nadas Mitzrayim. We want to go back. It would have been better to be in Egypt, to be slaves in Egypt. Hashem says to Moshe, what's going on over here? Ma titzak elai. What's the nature of this tefillah? This tefillah is crazy. You're praying to me that then you should go back to Egypt. You're praying to me that I should destroy your enemies. That's not what you'd pray. When you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisohu, to tell Klal Yisrael that the nature of the koyach tefillah should be a tefillah that Hashem should show you guidance. How to travel, where to travel. A tefillah of guidance to be successful. If you're successful, nemela, your enemies are defeated. In fact, it's the greatest form of defeat to an enemy when he sees that the other party has been successful. So this is a whole new twist, a whole new drush in explaining the words of this pasuk. Okay, one... Mulchama, okay, there are different dimensions of Mulchama, but this is the Chassam Sevizvart. The Iker Koyach in Tefillah should be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make you successful. To show you a derech to travel. The Koyach of Tefillah should not be devoted to the destruction of your enemies. That someone is bothering me, he should be eliminated. That's not the purpose. The purpose is you should be spared from what he's doing. Klal Yisrael should be spared from their harm, and the Nela will be destroyed. So just a different focus. Dabriel b'nei Yisrael, the Koyach Yisrael should be v'yisor. Okay, one last part. We have in this week's parasha a pasuk, one of two pasukim in the entire Tanakh, entire Chumash, Chamishei Chumash Torah, which has all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. The parasha of the Mon. Parasha of the Mon, it says, Perik Tez Zayin, pasuk, Tes Zayin, Ze Hadavar Shar Tziva Hashem Liktu Mimenu Ish Lufi Ochloi Oymer Lago Goyles Mispar Naf Shoy Seichem Ish Vasher Bialov Tikochlo. This is the matter that Hashem has commanded. Everyone should go and should gather for himself in Oymer Lago Goyles, a portion of Mon according to the number of souls in his family. Every single letter of the Aleph Beis appears in this pasuk. The only other place where all the letters of the Aleph Beis appear in every single in the pasuk is the Parashas Vo'eschanan, where it says, "Oy Hanisa Elokim Lovoy Lokachas Lo Goy Mikarev Goy." But Oysois of Nisim of Luchama, Moisim of Nisim of Cholash Oso Luchashem. We say this pasuk in the Haggadah. The pasuk that talks about, has there ever been in history a miracle where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has succeeded in taking a goy mikerev goy? So, it has to be that if these two psukim are the only psukim in the entire... And by the way, what's the pshat? What's the simple pshat? What's the simple pshat? And why are all the letters of the Aleph Beis appear specifically in these two psukim? So the answer simply is that in this, every time you have all the letters of the Aleph Beis, it represents Talmud Torah, the study of Torah. All the letters of the Aleph Beis, whenever you have all the letters of the Aleph Beis, it represents Aleph Bina. Aleph means learn Torah. It represents the concept of the study of Torah. And the Pasuk over here is telling us that in the Zuchus of Talmud Torah, a person is Zoche to Parnasa. The Pasuk of the Mon of Zeha Dovah Asher Tziva Hashem Liktu Menu Ish Lufi Oimer, that a person is guaranteed to have Parnasa. Parnasa comes in the Zuchus of Talmud Torah. That's for the Yochid, for the individual, for the nation. How is it shach that Klal Yisrael is zochah to miracles? Oy hanisa elakim lavoy lakachas legoy mikerev goy, but oysoy suvim nisim all of these expivsim. Klal Yisrael as a whole is zochah to miracles, a miraculous survival only in the zuchus of all of the Aleph Beis, the zuchus of Talmud Torah. That's a pashup shat. But I think this is more of a drush. The drush is, it has to be, if these two psukim are the only psukim which have all the letters of the Aleph Beis, there has to be a correlation. There has to be something in common. There has to be something in common, an overlap between these psukim. So I want to suggest is that when we say that Klal Yisrael is a goy mikerev goy, what does it say in the other pasuk? It says in the pasuk that Klal Yisrael is, oy hanisa lakim lavoy lakachas loy goy mikerev goy. So drush, it's not pshat. Goy mikerev goy. So pashshan means that there are many nations in the world, and we are a goy mikarev goy. We were absorbed in Egypt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a goy mikarev goy. So it's one nation from within another nation in this world. But on another level, we can suggest that Klal Yisrael is a goy mikarev goy. We are a subset of the malachim. The man is called the lechem abirim. This is a food that is not meant for human beings. The man chazal is defined as the bread of the angels. When we, Klal Yisrael, on the one hand, we're a goy mikarev goy, but we're also a subset of the malachi hasharis. They are the malachim. And then from all the malachi hasharis in Shemayim, there's one group that's unique. There's a goy mikarev goy. Klal Yisrael is this. There are only two creatures that are called Bnei Elokim, the Malachim. It says by Iyov, Vayhi Hayom Vayavo Bnei Elokim. It says in reference to in Sefer Iyov that the Malachim are called the Bnei Elokim, and Klal Yisrael are called children. Bonim Atem Lamokim. Who's older? Who's the older one? Klal Yisrael. Bnei Bechori Yisrael. Both the Malachim and Klal Yisrael are called Hashem's children. We are the Bukhar. But this, if we connect these two psukim together, we take the idea that the Mon represents Lechem Abirim, it's food of angels, and Klal Yisrael is also called the Goy Bikarev Goy, it's indicating that Klal Yisrael, don't just look at yourself as being a subset of the world, the Umas HaOlam. Look at yourself as being a Goy Mikarev Goy. You're all part of the big group of people who eat angel food, angel cake. You're all part of that big group. The Malachim eat man, and Klal Yisrael eat man. And we're also a Goy Mikarev Goy, which means any type of drush, okay, this has to be developed more, but any type of machshav, I'm sure it's a very deep idea, I don't know, but this concept of Klal Yisrael being called in this world a Goy Mikarev Goy can be applied to Klal Yisrael in reference to the Malachim, that we are a Goy Mikarev Goy from the larger group of the Malachi Hasharis. Okay, with that we will stop for a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos.